This morning, we're going to talk about identity, and I feel like I talk about identity a lot, that I don't take the opportunity to speak in church a lot, but when I do, I talk about identity a lot. And the reason why I do that, from a personal perspective, it's what God's been dealing with me personally with and walking me through a process over the last several years of finding out who I am and understanding totally who I am. By the time I think I got it, He gives me something new and He gives me something different and He releases something inside me that is incredible. And so He keeps giving me new material. As long as He's giving me new material, I'm going to give it to you. So that's where we're going tonight. But identity. My desire is to be fully me, to be the person that God created me to be fully, not just in part, and not to walk partly in my identity, not to walk partly in the blessings and the stuff that God has for me, but to walk in that fully. And I hope that's your desire too. And sometimes I think it's not as Christians. I think sometimes we are happy to walk in part identity or half identity or whatever. But God promises us life full now. We don't have to wait for eternity. We don't have to wait to heaven to receive a lot of the blessings that a lot of us miss out on in our life. If we walk in His truth, and we walk fully in His truth, that stuff's for us now. And that's where I want to be and where I want to live. So identity. Everyone has an identity, right? Sometimes we create our own identities. Sometimes we allow other people to create our identities or to label us as something. But we all have an identity. Some of us are good-looking, right? All right. Some of us are nerds. Some of us are athletic. Some of us may be alcoholics. Some of us may be workaholics. Some of us are kind. Some of us are mean. Some of us are generous. Okay? There's all these things that we take on as labels, as identity. And again, some of those are things that we've spoken into ourselves, that we've started to believe. And sometimes, and I see this with kids all of the time, somebody will put a label on them, and they'll start to accept that label. And they start to act out or to behave based on that label that was placed on them. All right. So what we want to do is we want to work through all of that to figure out what our true identity is. God gives us very specific things, and we're going to talk through some of that this morning. I shared last week about Josh and Jake and some of the assumptions that I made 6 months ago, 8 months ago, about people who had issues with addiction. And some of that was very false. And when I sat down and I got to know them and I saw their heart, I saw that it was false. And so it's changed my perspective. The same thing can happen with us. When we start to believe false things about ourselves and we start to work through those and we start to see some of that stuff peeled away that was spoken to us or labels that were placed upon us, we can start to see ourselves differently as well. I've been visiting a lady in Columbus who does prayer and stuff, and she invited me to come. She said she's one of the School of Kingdom Ministry leaders in Columbus. She told me that she felt like God wanted me to come up and she wanted to pray for me. So I got there and there was this whole team of people, and they were praying, had been praying for me, and they started praying, and she started talking to my identity, and she started talking to me about father issues. This lady doesn't know me. Okay, but the Holy Spirit had spoken to her about some different things that I had struggled with throughout my life in terms of dealing and relationships with my father, and she was spot on. And as some of those things started to unravel, like the levels of an onion, and sometimes God pulls away those different layers of the onion to get to the core of who we are, and it's been fantastic to be able to release in who I am created to be. But identity. Stereotypes. I think that's why kids accept identities that are spoken over to them. And parents, this is important. This isn't in my notes. I'm already rabbit trailing. But when we say things to our kids out of anger, out of frustration, those things are damaging. There's a difference in saying you're acting stupid and you are stupid. Be careful how you choose your words. That's some of the stuff that I had to deal with some of my father issues, but it's good. I've always struggled with self-confidence, and I lived in a place in my life that I put myself down because I had bought into some of the self-confidence issues and some of the things that, people put had said about me. I was labeled as a snob or somebody that was, I don't know what the current terminology is, stuck up in high school because I was shy. I was quiet. I was naturally introvert. I still am. And people perceive introverts sometimes as people who think they're better than other people because they don't socially interact as much as all of you extroverts. But I started believing, not that I was a snob, but I started having a lot of depression and a lot of self-doubt and a lot of self-worth issues in my life because I started feeling like a failure and worthless. And I had feelings of guilt and being ashamed and defeated. And I want to tell you, when you live there, when you live in those places of depression and guilt, that's an arrogant place to live. You know why it's arrogant? It's arrogance because you're claiming something that God says you're not. And so when you live in a place where you're telling God you're something you're not, it's arrogant because God speaks truth. He speaks who you truly are in your life. And when you submit to Him, that's humility. Don't live in arrogance. Don't live there. Let God define you. So understanding and discovering who God created you to be and what God says is incredibly important so that we can live fully us, fully the person that God created us to be. That starts by believing His truth over our opinions and over our assumptions. So, what's the truth about identity? That's where we want to go. And I'm not going to be able to tell you tonight or today where you're going to work or what you're going to do in life or the kind of stuff that God has for you to do, but I can tell you at your core who you are or who God says you are because God's laid it out in the Scripture. God's laid it out in the Bible. And when we understand the truth of who He says we are through the Scripture, you live in freedom. It's an ancient parable that tells a story about some blind men and their encounter with an elephant. Basically, they put an elephant in the room and they sent some blind men in and they asked the blind men to describe what an elephant was. Well, each of the blind men came in contact with different parts of the elephant, so they only had experience with that one part of the elephant. So the one blind man grabbed the leg of the elephant, and he said, well, an elephant's like a tree, because he felt the elephant felt like a trunk of a tree. And another one felt the ear of the elephant, and he says, well, an elephant's like a fan. It's like a giant fan. And another one grabbed the tail and said, an elephant's like a rope and the trunk. An elephant's like a snake. But they all only had that little picture of what an elephant was. Well, then they sent a man with sight into the room, and he looked at the elephant, and he saw an elephant as an elephant. Sometimes with our self-value, our self-worth, our self-identity, we're kind of like the blind men. And we're only experiencing parts of who we are. And we're only experiencing certain circumstances in our life in the moment. We got to step back. And because we're blind, because we're human, we live in a box of humanity, we've got to step back. We've got to allow Jesus, we've got to allow God, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to be our eyes, to see the full picture of who we are. So I want to use this as an illustration to kind of illustrate that right now, some of you might be seeing just the trunk of your life and as something that it's not. Allow Jesus to fill in the gaps. True identity of a Christian goes back to creation, back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? And then God said, this is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and all over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. See, out of creation, we were set aside as special because we were created in the image of God. We were created to represent the face of God on earth. And because we were given dominion over all of creation, we were here to represent the hands of God. So as part of creation, that's part of your identity, to represent the face and the hands of God. And that's why Satan hates you. That's why he hates you. If you look back at the Scriptures dealing with Satan when he was cast out of heaven, why was he cast out of heaven? He was cast out of heaven because he was trying to become like God. He was elevating himself to be God-like. And so when we come along, we're created in the likeness of God to be His face, to be His hands. Satan didn't like that. And so he sets out to destroy us. He tries to disrupt us. He convinces Adam and Eve that God's holding out on them, that there's more. And by getting them to take their focus off God and their focus off that relationship, He puts it on them. And what's the first thing that they see? They're not good enough. And there must be something God's holding out on them. And so they take that forbidden fruit and they eat it. They see themselves as lacking ability. They see themselves as having inadequacies. And that's the identity problem of mankind. It's rooted in the lies and the deceit of the enemy. Our sin nature keeps us from the full realization of who we are in Christ. But when we recognize the gospel, the good news of Jesus, as central to who we are, there's a shift in our attitude. There's a shift in how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive the world. And it gives us back our identity. And that message is critical. It's critical in understanding who we are and how we're to behave. Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf restores what was taken away from us in the garden. And the restoration brings about God's original message to the being the face and the hands of God at work. After the resurrection, Jesus commissioned His disciples again. We talked about a first commissioning last week about going and doing the stuff. As you go, do the stuff. In John 20, 21 through 22, this is Jesus commissioning the disciples again after the resurrection. He says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Okay? He was breathing in them life. He was breathing in them new identity. He was breathing in them new commission, new purpose, new passion to go do the stuff. I'm going to read from you the second edition of the School of Kingdom Ministry Handbook, because Putty Putman puts this in a perspective and an illustration that I wouldn't do it justice. And so I just want to read you what he says about creation, the fall of man, and the restoration of our identity through the resurrection story. It says, "We've already looked at what happened in the Garden of Eden and the fall of humanity. Remember that as Eve ate the fruit of the tree, she brought sin within humanity and changed the nature of humanity in that one single act. As we put it allegorically like this, as Eve pulled the fruit off the tree and ate it, she was pulling sin off the tree and into humanity. Now check this verse out. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. This verse could be summarized as saying that God made Jesus who we were so that we could become like He was. We were sin, He lived inside of us, and He had changed our very nature. Jesus was made into our nature so that we could be made into His. So God makes Jesus to become sin. What happens on Calvary is simply this. God makes Jesus sin, and He puts sin back on the tree. Eve pulled sin off of the tree. God, in Jesus, put it back on. Amazing. We make this way too complicated. It's simple. Sin is back on the tree. We're back in the garden. We were where we were always meant to be. Identity restored through creation, through the resurrection, the complete story of God from Jesus from beginning to the end. Identity restored. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may declare the goodness of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In times past, you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." These verses are again, it's identity scripture. It's verses talking to people who have a relationship of faith with Jesus, and it's the promises of who He's made us to be and who we are when we walk in that relationship, that identity. Okay, God created us for this purpose. And even if you're not a believer, this is really your identity. This is the identity that God wants to put inside you, that He wants to release. So if you've not received Jesus as your Savior, this is still speaking to you. It's who you're supposed to be. It's who you were created to be. You may not be there yet, but it's who God wants you to be. All right, so I want to read it again. I'm going to read it from a little bit different translation, but I want you to just not hear it and read it with me, but really listen, because it's speaking to who you are. All right? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you're a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you'd receive mercy. So important. Because out of identity, behavior flows. Out of identity is how we do the stuff in our everyday life. Out of our identity is how we treat and interact with other people. Out of identity is how we show the love of Jesus. Out of identity is how we experience and share the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing who we are. You are a chosen race. Some translations use chosen people. Okay? But God, in all of His infinite wisdom, in His amazing power, He looked at you and He said, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you and you. I choose you. That's love. I choose you because I want to know you better. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to fellowship with you. Like creation was supposed to be in the garden. I want that relationship. That's God speaking to us, choosing us. The creator of the world looking down and choosing. And when He chooses, He puts value in your life. Sometimes we feel worthless due to the circumstances that we're walking in. We feel like a failure. But on the contrary, Jesus is saying, I choose you. And when I choose you, you're worth something. I choose you because you're valuable. I'm willing to pay the highest price for you. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. What was the price? The ultimate price of Jesus, paying for our freedom on the cross. I choose you. Say that. I'm chosen. I have value. Wake up every morning and say that. I was chosen. I have value. And I'm going to live that out because that's the identity that I'm going to embrace this morning. When I'm living my life, when I'm doing the stuff, as I go, I know that I am going as a chosen person. I am going as a person that has value, that I am loved by the Creator. A royal priesthood. You're royalty. Congratulations. You're royalty. What's that mean? You're adopted by the King, the Creator of the universe, and He loves you, not as a friend, not as a follower, son, as a daughter. 1 John 1:12. But as many have received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in His name. It's called sonship. And sonship reveals the love of the Father. Guys, when you recognize your place in the family, you see God differently. You don't see God anymore as a controlling, manipulative master. You see Him as a loving Father. We move from a place of being insecure and lacking peace to a place of rest, a place of comfort. As a son or a daughter, I don't operate seeking your approval. I live in a place where I know that I am justified by His grace. As a son or a daughter, I can rejoice with you in your ministry successes. I don't have to feel like I have to compete with you or to do more than you're doing because I'm in peace and I'm resting in the presence of my Father doing what I'm supposed to do. I understand the unconditional love of Jesus and I can rest and I can enjoy His presence. But we're not just any child. It's not just any sonship. You're a child of royalty. People of royalty know that they are destined for greatness. Prince knows that he's going to become the king, right? And so he walks knowing that he carries that authority, that he carries that relationship with the king. Guess what? You carry the purpose. You carry the passions. You carry the identity of the king. Not just the king, but the king of kings. The king that every other earthly king is going to bow before one day. That's your daddy. And you carry his authority. And you carry his purpose. And you carry his DNA. You carry his identity. So start carrying it. Start living like you're royalty. Live in that. You're a child of the King. You're God's people. You're part of the chosen. You're part of the people who have been set aside as special. And through his love and his grace, You have the power and the ability to change this world. I told Cindy, I think I was praying this morning about next week we're our School of Kingdom Ministry group, and you're all welcome to come and participate in ministry with us. Next week we're scheduled to do healing on the streets and to go out and to encounter people on the streets and to pray for them and to introduce Jesus to them. And as I was praying this morning about that, because we've not really trained to do any of that or anything like that, not that you have to be trained to pray, but we've not talked about that a lot, God laid it on my heart that we're supposed to go out, and we're supposed to just claim the city Sunday. So we're just going to load up in cars, and we're just going to drive around, and we're going to go up and down the streets, and we're just going to claim the city for Jesus. So we're going to do that as royalty, as chosen people, carrying the authority of God with us as we go. And so if you want to come and you want to participate in that, 4 o'clock next Sunday, come and participate in that. But power, ability to change the world. So many negative things have been spoken over Newark, Ohio. Newark, Ohio walks with a terrible identity as a city. And I believe that our church has been called specifically as an agent of change for this city and to give Newark a new identity, to speak into it that it's not death, that it's a city of light, and that out of death, Jesus is going to spring up, and we're going to reclaim our city. All right, so identity. There's lots of verses that speak about identity and who we are and the truth of who we are. And guess what? No, nothing can take that away from you, unless you let it. Nothing can take that away from you. Who Jesus says you are is who you are. Unless you walk away from that or you decide that you don't want that as your identity, it can't be stolen from you. Nothing you do can take that away from you. It's the identity that God created and He put inside you. It can't be destroyed. Jesus, He sees the full picture of who you are, who He created you to be. So allow Him to remove the blindness so that you see it. Ask Him, God, what am I missing? Why am I not fully walking in Your presence? What am I missing? Take away the blindness so that I can walk fully me. But, let me temper that. Walking in identity is also walking in humility. Humility of knowing and recognizing where the value comes from. Humility is not lowering your self-esteem, okay, or considering yourself less than you were created for, but it's recognizing that your worth and your value comes from Jesus and that your empowerment comes from the Holy Spirit. So humility is recognizing where your strength, where your identity, where all of those things come from. So walk in humility also. One of the cheap tricks of the devil is to convince you that you can't be free and therefore robbing you of who you were created to be. It makes freedom something that feels like it's not obtainable or something that you have to work really hard towards. Okay, when in fact it was delivered to you. As a believer, the doors of the kingdom are wide open for us. All we got to do is walk through them. Okay, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But it's given to us. It reminds me of a song. But it's ours. All of the kingdom resources are at our disposal. Last week we talked about the fact that as we go to do the stuff, that we're commissioned. That's who we are, as we go to do the stuff. Today I want you to know that as you go, you've been gifted. You have an identity that's spoken over you by the Creator to give you the ability to do the stuff. We're not just out there kind of bouncing into walls, walking around as we go to do the stuff. We have purpose. We have passion, and you have the ability and the equipping to do the stuff. We just got to receive it and do it. Satan has a plan for your life, and the plan is to condemn you, to destroy you, and to disrupt. And he only succeeds in that if you allow him to succeed. He can come against you, but the Bible says no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, right? He can tempt you, but the Bible says resist the devil and he's got to flee. He can bring up your past, right? But the Bible says, who the Son set free is free indeed. So no matter what the tactic is, no matter what you're being told, who you are, walk in the freedom of Jesus. You have power through the Holy Spirit. Walk in it. Walk in the victory through Jesus. Know that you are loved by the Father. Absolute, unconditional love by the Father. He's good, and He loves you. Know who you are. Romans 8:35-37 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are all being put to death all day long. We were considered sheep to be slaughtered. Then on all these things we overwhelmingly conquer Him who loved us. Nothing separates us from the love of Jesus. Nothing separates us from the love of Jesus. Nothing separates you from the love of Jesus. Walk in the authority of the Father. Walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the blood of Jesus and the blood of the Son. Walk fully you. Last week, I talked about, and it was part of my restored identity, that God's giving me some abilities to participate in some things and to see some, what I call identity gifting, in some of our youth. And praying for release and activation of some of that gifting in them. And I'm going to play something for you that God released in one of our youth who is taking seriously his identity in Christ. This is Jacob Gant. He's back there too, but I'm not going to make him come up. All right. Jacob is usually pretty quiet, and Jacob's usually pretty unassuming, kind of like his dad. But Jacob has an incredible gift of faith, and I've been praying for Jacob for a long time to what he can do with that faith and how he can use that faith, and we prayed for a release of boldness in him. Well, apparently Jacob had other gifting that I didn't know about, and that's a gift of songwriting, and in particular rap music. And so I got a call from Jacob a week ago Friday, and Jacob and I talked a little bit, and he told me that he was feeling broken and that he really felt like there were some things in his life that he wanted to change and that he wanted to get right. And so we started talking about his love and ability to do rap music. Okay, and his mom's heard him rap in the shower apparently, but she's the only one that's heard him live. And so we kind of prayed for him, and over the course of less than a week, the Holy Spirit gave him three songs. And last Sunday afternoon, he came to church, and while I was doing some things getting ready for Holy Spirit night, he was in the youth room and he recorded one of those songs on his laptop. And so I'm going to play that for you this morning. Now, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. This is not going to be music most of you are going to like, but it is music that can reach this generation. And it's a message that this generation needs to hear. This song is called 116. It's based on Romans 116. And this is Jacob Gant.
Six, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ooh, hold up, stacking bricks, ooh, yeah, 116, got a lot of sticks, yeah, I'm from the six, ooh, yeah, my money sick, ayy, yeah, 116, ooh, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ayy, hold up, stacking bricks, yeah, ayy, 116, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, yeah, my money sick, hold up, I ain't in no gang, but the words I slang right up from the page, right into your brain. Yeah, you need a change, this world is deranged. I ain't selling dope, I don't do that, nope. Bro, I'm making bands, prayer in my hands. Like my boy Peter catching fish, walk up on the water, that's my wish. 116 is here, 116 is there. All together we climb the stairs, reaching out for light. Yeah, I used to be down, but now I'm up, looking at the light. Man, I got luck, I was stuck, didn't have an answer, I was dark. Then I had a cleanser, man, I used to be down, felt like I was gonna drown. Then Jesus came down, grabbed my hand, saved me from this wretched land. When he grabbed me, holds up in his hand, people tried to pull me away, but I took a stand. Now I'm in a coop with my group, looking at verses instead of looking at the loot. Taking a moment to stop and thank God for all that he's done. Created the waters all the way up to the sun. Why you flexing with guns? We don't do that. Where your crew at? Driving with the SB, with the E3. God looking right at me, yeah, I am free. Stacking up the knowledge, gonna pay for my college, ayy, 116, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ayy, hold up, stacking bricks, yeah, ayy, 116, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, yeah, yeah, my money sick, ayy, yeah, 116, ooh, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ayy, hold up, stacking bricks, yeah, ayy, 116, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, yeah, yeah, my money sick. Yeah, one more 116, huh, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ayy, hold up, stacking bricks, yeah, ayy, 116, huh, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, yeah, my money's sick, ayy, yeah, 116, yeah, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, ayy, hold up, stacking bricks, yeah, ayy, 116, yeah, I'm from the six, ayy, got a lot of sticks, yeah, my money's sick.
I want to tell you that not only is God releasing him, that in him, and God's already given me a word which I shared with him about his brother, but even before I shared the word about his brother with him, I got a text message from his brother talking to me about how Jacob in this particular song and stuff has already stirred stuff up in his life, and he needs to get right. He wants to meet. He wants to talk about some of that stuff. So God's already using that and blessing that, and he'll do the same when we step out and we embrace and we walk in the identity and the giftings that God has created us and given us. So church, as you leave this morning, that's the challenge. Put away the stuff that's been told, spoken over you, people have said about you. It's not you. It's not who you are. Walk in your full gifting. Walk in the full embrace of who God's created you to be. And allow him to release the same stuff that he's releasing in Jacob and Douglas and Chris and lots of other. I could tell you, I could stand up here and tell you a half hour's worth of stories of stuff in the last 2 weeks that he's doing in our youth. He wants to do that here too. He wants to do that in our lives as adults. And so let's walk in that gifting. Let's walk in that and embrace it. So let's just pray. And if you want to receive release and identity in your life, there'll be people that will stick around, will pray for you to receive that. But leave today understanding and walking as fully you. Amen? Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that your word is eternal. We thank you that created us as chosen, that you created us as royalty, that you created us with particular special gifting given to us for purpose, for passion. And Father, I just pray that this week as we leave, as we go do the stuff, that we do it with renewed identity. That we do it with renewed purpose. We do it for you and in your power and in your love. So, Father, I just pray over everyone here today. I just pray, Lord, that you would just allow them to surrender false identity and to receive who you say they are. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.